It's going to be a great time. Pastor Alex told you about prophecy. We're going to be talking about the spirit of prophecy or the gift of prophecy. And I understand we're in the series on gifts of the spirit. First of all, let me tell you that whenever you talk about the gift of prophecy, you're talking about being in the presence of the Lord. And anytime you talk about any spiritual gift, and there, let me make distinction between your natural gifts and your natural calls or your expertise or what you're good at, your talents. That's different than a spiritual gift. A lot of us have natural giftings that are innate. Maybe we're like our mom or our dad. We have a creative side that are natural gifts. Or you may be talented because you are in front of the mirror every day singing, and you have developed your talent, and you've developed that, and you're getting better and better and better because you're investing. You're investing in something that you already have, so you become talented, and you can become gifted. And what we're talking about today is a spiritual gift. So a spiritual gift is not the same as a natural gift. But I tell you what, a spiritual gift can be so predominant in your life that it could seem like it's so natural. Okay. The gift of prophecy that I walk in is natural. I can prophesy. You wake me up at 2:00 in the morning. I could be at the movie house. Whoever sits next to me on the plane, they're getting it. They are going to get a prophecy. All because, and I'll tell you more why, how easy it is. It's really, when we talk about prophecy, it's really uttering and saying what God is speaking to you. I mean, I'm going to make it real simple. Because if the Bible says that we can ask for it, and we can desire it, and we can have it, and that we can walk in it, and we can exercise it, and as a matter of fact, he says you should ask for it. Yeah. I'll show you where they said the gift of prophecy is like the best gift to desire. All because of what the results are. How many people like to be encouraged? Yep. How many people like God, you know, somebody to say something nice about you or nice to you? Yep. Mm-hmm. Anything encouraging, anything, this is what that the prophetic releases. Encouragement, comfort, admonishment, it releases. Not only that, but also the mind of God, what God would have for you, and the things that he wanted to say to you. But when you're talking about receiving prophecy, it's going to edify. It's going to encourage you. It's going to uplift you. It's going to bless you. And it does not mean that it will not be a word that will not help you or do a spiritual constructive criticism, so to speak, or push you to a new place, or even open your eyes to what God is saying about you. Concerning your future, concerning your livelihood, concerning your life, prophecy is what God wants you to know. It's the supernatural word of the Lord, which is supernatural, but it is what God wants you to know. It is foretelling. It can talk about your future. That's not the big, big thing, but it can talk about your future. It can give you spiritual insight where you never had insight before because it's a revelation. Everybody say it's a revelation. Prophecy is a revelation of what God has for you that's been concealed that you don't know. Sometimes prophecy comes to confirm. It'll confirm. But most of the time, it will, even if you don't fully understand it, it'll bear witness with your, on the inside. Before you throw it out, you will give some leeway to say, you know what, that may be right. That may be right. A lot of times I have received prophecy and I have to put it on a shelf because it like didn't fit me. And I didn't like, well, that's not me or that's not for me. But I did not despise prophecy. I did not throw it away. I just waited for it to see if it was going to come to pass. And I kind of like was looking at it. I cannot tell you that I fully believe every prophecy, but I kind of, you know, look at it. And if I'm not sure about it, I'll kind of file it and put it on the shelf and just kind of see how it comes around. And you know, I'm just looking at it. I'm not despising it. I'm just kind of watching it. Okay, if God said it, he'll do it. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, it's okay. You know, could be, could not. But I'm game. I want it to happen. I hope it does. So there are times when you will receive something that maybe your pastor or maybe one of your peers, one of your colleagues might say to you, you know what, I feel like the Lord is saying this to you. It is not such a much of a word of knowledge as it is a prediction, or as it is something supernaturally God's saying to them, and God wants them to speak it to you so that you can receive it. There is a difference between the gift of prophecy and the spirit of prophecy and the office of the prophetic. Everybody that can prophesy does not mean that they are a prophet. Does not mean that they can walk in the office of the prophet, which means an established work that God has trained you for, that God has anointed you for, and that it's what you do all the time. It's your primary ministry. You are a resident in that with that gift. You're not just prophesying where you go in and out, but it's almost like you own it. It belongs to you. That is how you operate, and that will be how people will know you. Pastor Alex is a teacher. He is a pastor. You know, those are resident offices that he walks in. Before I walked in the office of the prophet, I walked in the office of an evangelist. And then the office of the pastor. And then it kept going and it kept going and kept going. And so there's a difference between the office, which is, you know, that person that has total authority to speak, to activate, and to minister in a very, very, very profound way. If you have the gift of prophecy, which all gifts come from the Lord, and all spiritual gifts are a manifestation of from the Spirit of God, if you have the gift of prophecy, then God can use you at any time. Most of the time, you'll know it because he'll start developing that gift in you. The gift of prophecy, it gives you insight into the mind of God. It gives you insight into the will of God. It has a lot of discernment with it. You can discern what you hear. You can discern what you hear. It's a supernatural gift. It's not a natural gift. You can't study up on it in that sense to allow the spirit of prophecy to work. It's a gift of the Spirit. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Spirit. And we hear things like this: as the Spirit give utterance. As the Spirit give utterance. And that's the gift of prophecy. When we can give that supernatural utterance or speak forth in a known tongue, and sometimes in an unknown tongue that needs to be interpreted. But it is from the mind of God, and it brings edification, exhortation, and comfort to the body of Christ. It's a what we call a inspirational gift or a manifestation gift. It's a gift that that has a manifestation to it. It has an activation to it, a revealing, and it's manifested. You can have the gift, or you can walk in the what we call the power gifts or the miracle gifts, but there is a manifestation, there is a demonstration. And so prophecy is a gift that has to be demonstrated. The word prophecy, looking at the Hebrew real quick, it means to flow forth. It means to lift up. I'm just going to take a couple of meanings from that. How many know the difference between Hebrew and Greek? The Hebrew comes from the Old Testament, and the Greek is from the New Testament. Okay? So whenever you're giving a definition from a Hebrew word, it is strictly confined to the Old Testament. And if you're looking for a definition from the New Testament, then you go to the Greek. So that's the difference there. The Greek meaning for prophecy is to speak for another. To speak for another. To speak for God. To be his spokesman. The Holy Spirit causing you to be the mouth of God. The Bible talks about, I said on this morning, that prophecy has been misunderstood, has been largely despised by everybody because it's been misinterpreted, it's been done wrong, it's got a bad rap because a lot of times people misuse it and abuse it, and sometimes people that don't know how to use the gift, they mess it up. And therefore, instead of, you know, just throwing the baby bathwater away, they throw the whole baby away and everything. And so what we want to do is understand that there is nothing wrong with prophecy because God instituted it. But we do have to be careful, and we have to thank God that you have good pastors that can judge prophecy. For an example, if I go to a different church, or if some of my members go to a different church and they get a prophecy from somebody and they don't understand it, and they'll just come back and say, "I get this prophecy, Pastor. Can you tell me what this means? Or this, does this fall right?" Prophecy has to be judged. Prophecy has to be judged. So here's a little warning that if someone speaks to you and gives you a prophecy, you know, before you just lock it in, make sure, you know, if it doesn't agree with you, make sure it's judged. Another thing about prophecy, you have to be careful where you put power prophecy. For an example, if somebody gives me a word that says it's moving time for you, and I see you moving, and I see God, you know, relocating you. Now, in my mind, I always wanted to move to another state. In my mind, I'm like, oh, that prophecy, yes, yes. So guess where I take that prophecy? I take it right to where I want it. It may not be where it should go, but I'm going to take it right where I want it because I'm like, yes, yes, what I've been waiting for. Thank you for my answer, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's coming. I'm moving. Everybody, the Lord says I'm moving. But it did not necessarily mean geographically. You have to wait for that prophecy and kind of test it because God could want you just to move to the next neighborhood. Or it may be moving time for you spiritually. Yeah. That God is ready for you to change your spiritual address. You've been on slow street too long. You need to move to fast street. You know, it could be that he's telling you, and you got to be careful, especially when we have something in our minds and in our heart and spirit, and we say, oh yeah, my spirit agrees with that. Well, duh. Yeah, your spirit will always agree with something that you want to agree with. And if it's something that we don't want to hear, we're like, oh, no, my spirit don't agree with that. But that doesn't mean it's not for you. So you have to be careful when you're listening and hearing prophecy and what you do with it. Because it is the foretelling of some things to come. It is the mind of God. It is the will of God. It is the utterance of God. It kind of will lead you. If you're not sure, the prophecy will kind of lead you. That's not the main reason for it, but it'll guide you. It'll guide you. Pastor Alan said to you that I called him pastor. Well, you know, I had to bend his arm to really, you know, let him know that this was the Lord. He told it real nice. I'm going to tell it the real way, okay? He did not think that my prophecy was all that good, okay? Because at that time he was not interested in pastoring. He wasn't. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. He was like, are you kidding me? They're not going to believe me. These people are going to crucify me. I ain't going to tell you who these people were, but he said, they're going to crucify me. He said, I'm too young. And I kept saying, not hearing it. Not hearing it. I know what God said. I know what's coming forth. And so a lot of times it will lead you. It will give you kind of an insight of what's next so you can start going in that direction. And that's what he did. He finally said yes to the call of God on his life. If you think he's here, he wanted a pastor. He wanted a pastor. No, really, seriously. But he finally, you know, one of the things I always love about Pastor Alex, you know, when he gets it from the Lord, he got it. May take him a few minutes, but he got it, and he locked in. And when he locked in, he said, Pastor, you know, okay, what do we have to do? And we went for it. I was just in Nairobi, Kenya, outside of Kenya not too long ago. And when I go overseas, I prophesy a lot to the regions, to the nations. And it's because God wants to show himself great, you know. And for some of you that may not know this, I was in a place called the Rift Valley where it had not rained for 4 years. It was totally dry. It was a desert. It was a famine. It's a famine in the land. The ground, brown, parched, cracked. The poor cows was a skin and bones, just sagging skin, no meat there. You could, you know, drive on the road and dead cows are just turned over because there's no food, there's no water. So really devastating, a famine in the land. And I was in a meeting and I started prophesying. I started prophesying because I heard something. There's another component to prophecy. But then it took faith for me to release what I heard. It took faith for me to release what I heard. And what I heard was prophesy. How many years did I say it had not rained? 4 years. Had no crop. I got up on a Saturday night and I started prophesying, Ilya. I said, within 3 days, in 3 days, it shall rain. And so everybody said, I said, supernaturally, it shall rain. And I said, and not only will there be crop, but there will be bumper crop, which means huge crop. I said, the terrain will be green. It will no longer be brown. I said, and when it shall rain, it shall continue to rain, and it shall continue to rain and rain and rain and rain and rain. Now, I had to have faith to release what I heard, because in the natural, that was an impossibility. 4 years, they had not seen rain. So, but as I heard it, I, under the power of God, you know, I spoke it because I did hear it. And that's one of the things about prophecy or hearing God. When you hear something and you're in that, what I call the zone, like when you're in worship, a lot of times prophecy is stirred in worship. The prophetic is stirred most of the time in worship. And when it's stirred in worship, if you hear something, then most of the time the enemy is not going to be on that wave frequency. I'm serious. And so what you need to do is start listening, and then if it's a word or if it's something that you need to write down for another time or share for another time or give, is a rhema word to give at that time, go see pastor, and then have enough faith to do it. I had enough faith to just stand there and declare that it shall rain in 3 days. That was a Saturday. I left for Sioux Falls on a Monday, got home Tuesday morning, Monday, somewhere in the midnight hour. I got a call from Kenya, and they said, Apostle Judy, it is raining, it is raining, it is raining. Oh, my, it is raining. And so, of course, now I must admit, when I sat down after I realized that I did that and I said that, I sat down in my seat and said, oh, my God, what have you done? Oh, God. Then you sit there and say, please, God, let it rain. Please, God, let it rain. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. I'm confessing. God, confirm your word. Confirm your word with signs and wonders. God, you spoke it. You bring it to pass. So all the way home on the plane, God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. He already said he was going to do it, but I was like, you know, okay. So when they called and they said it's raining, I was like, yes, yes. And it made the paper. It made the paper. It was the only mountain. It was the only spot in the whole Rift Valley where there was crops. I have a DVD. It brought tears to my eyes when I saw the crop that was like 10 feet tall, the maize, the corn. And it was green. They were standing in the midst of the corn. They were cheesing. And the crops had come up, and the animals had food, and water came. God just did something, see, supernatural. So one of the things that I said this morning is that the prophetic word, the prophetic voice is tied to fulfillment, or fulfillment is tied to the prophetic word. Now, you may say, oh, Pastor Judy, who are you kidding? It was going to rain anyway. Absolutely not. But by your word, the Lord told Elisha, but by your word, but by, if you speak it, I'll bring it to pass. And that is the supernatural gift that God has so blessed the church to walk in. That is awesome. It is awesome. It is why the Lord says to desire the gift of prophecy, because it builds people up. It edifies. When I'm over in like Serbia and over in the Ukraine and other places like that, when we go to bars and witness, because they don't have other places, but when we go, then the gift of prophecy comes. And we call it prophetic evangelism, as you know. And I see why God says it's the best gift, because you're sitting there and God has given you insight and he's given you to prophesy to the people. And he's giving you what to say to them, and it's blowing their minds. So even before you talk about salvation, and before you talk about, you know, being through the Holy Spirit, it's like bait. And you grab their attention. When you're talking to somebody that they don't know you and you don't know them, and you say, you know what? I don't know you, right? They say, right? I say, but do you have a grandma? Is your grandmother named Lois? They, what? Who are you? So I just got this name, Lois, and it seemed like she's somewhere in her between 62 and 64. I mean, always accurate, always accurate. And when, see, that grabs their attention, so they know that that's supernatural. And then you might have to explain to them the difference between psychic and prophetic, because the world understands psychic, you know, dial 1-800, whatever. And so you just have to explain that this is not a psychic gift. This is not from darkness. It's from light. And so the gift of God, the gift of prophecy, the one thing that I really, 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 really want to stress to you and for you to really get is that you can desire this spiritual gift. And God has left this gift for the church as a tool to build the church and to reach the harvest. First of all, the 12th verse, the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you ignorant. So God doesn't want you ignorant about spiritual gifts. And then let me go on and skip to number 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and so on and so on and so on. And all the way down, it talks about the 10th verse, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So all these gifts are given to the church. They're given to the body. They belong to you. Everybody in here can have a spiritual gift. God wants everybody to operate in spiritual gifts. It's for the body, to build the body and to even win the loss. I said earlier that prophecy was misunderstood because it was done wrong. Can I tell you something? You don't have to do it wrong. You can do it right. You can do it right. And when you do it right, then there's the results from it, and people will be edified, blessed, even saved and set free. Prophecy has been despised. I'm going to skip some of this because it's just history to tell you how prophecy has been in the Bible for many, many years. Numbers 11 and 29. And this is when Moses finally convinced God that he needed elders to help him. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord fell on 70 elders to help Moses and his ministry. So the scripture in Numbers 11:29, Moses finally saying to the 68 that was with him, and two did not go with him, and they began to prophesy, and the other 68 got upset. Moses said something to them, and he said, I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets. Okay? They were trying to despise prophecy because they were not doing it, and the other two that was not with that group were doing it. And so Moses started chuckling. He says, you know what? I wish that everybody was a prophet. Because I understand what the prophetic can do. I understand how powerful the prophetic is. And he said, I wish that everybody was a prophet, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Because when you begin to prophesy, it's the spirit of the Lord ministering to somebody. It's the spirit of the Lord revealing himself to somebody. So why not everybody in here prophesying? Why not everybody in here with the understanding that you're hearing God and you're mixing faith with what you're hearing and you're releasing the word of the Lord? And I even say sometimes, why don't you practice on one another? Why don't you practice? And you know what? I'm not sure, but Brother Johnson, I just feel the Lord saying that, do you have a headache? And they say, no. He said, well, do you have a toothache? They went, do you have any kind of ache? Oh, yeah, this is, I mean, how many know that before you can ride a bicycle, you need training wheels? How many know before you can drive a car, you need a learner's permit? So sometimes you need permits and training wheels in the spirit when you're learning something. And so you give a little allowance. You're trying and you may not get 100 all the time. You may miss it, but it's new to you. You know, when you're singing, your voice may crack until you get it together. Come on. So even in the prophetic, I want to dismiss the myth that I might do it wrong. Yeah, you're going to do that wrong and everything else wrong. We're all learning. I passed it wrong sometime when I first started, you know. So we all do something wrong. So just get some Holy Ghost training wheels and get a Holy Ghost learner's permit and try it. All right? Let the fear go in after we desire and say, you know, Lord, I want you to use me in this way. I want to edify someone. A lot of times when I see somebody and I want to bless them, I say, Lord, give me something. Let me wash out this word. Lord, give me something. Give me something for that brother. Give me something for that sister. Lord, speak to my heart. I want to bless them. I want to bless them. I want them to know. I want them to see your power. I want them to see how God works. I want them to experience something they've never experienced before. Use me. Everybody say, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And so it's really cool when you can go to your friend and say, you know, you need to go down to that church, you know, on First Avenue. Because when you go there Sunday, that pastor is going to say something to you. And I'm not even going to tell him anything. And then they follow up and they go down to that church. And you don't even show up, but they're there. And that pastor says something to them. And the women, did he tell you, as the first thing, when prophecy is so accurate, it almost makes you an unbeliever instead of a believer. I have sat there just a couple months ago when somebody was here and they were giving a prophetic word. And I was like, you got to be kidding. Somebody told you that. I said that. Because it was so accurate. I said, who told you that? He said, they're like, Pastor Judy, you don't believe. But it can be so accurate. It can just really like... I can't believe it. Sometimes you'll hear Pastor Alex say something, or maybe Pastor Tanya say something, or either somebody else, Andre, and you're like, how did he know that? Or how did he know to say that to me? Because it's a supernatural gift from God. And God wants to show himself to you. And so the gift of prophecy is one of the ways he reveals himself to his people. And it's a great way to get people to see that God works, that God loves them, that God's concerned about them. So I would encourage you all to ask, to desire the gift of prophecy. The 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Okay? Desire spiritual gifts. But then it says, but rather, out of all the spiritual gifts that you desire, desire what? Desire prophecy. Desire prophecy. Earnestly desire prophecy, for that is the gift that encourages, and that is the gift that will confound and conform the word of the Lord.
This is how it begins.
First of all, you experience it. Somebody, this is how I started. Somebody prophesied to me. And this is how the journey begins. They prophesied to you and you like, wow, I wonder if I can do that. So now I want to experience it because I know it's true. And so I begin to yearn for it. I begin to desire for it. It's like, Lord, can you speak to me like that? Can I bless? I was so blessed when people would prophesy to me. I mean, it caused me to, just take off in the spirit. It caused me to know so much. It caused me to just excel in God. And I said, God, can I do that? Can I bless somebody like that? And so once I experienced it, I said, can I do it? And I found out from this scripture, I can do it. And that if I desire it, that God will develop that gift within me. And so that's where I desired it. And as I desired the gift of prophecy, then I began to read about it. I began to stay in the presence of God. Remember, because it's a spiritual gift, and you got to get it from the presence of God. You can't get it from no place else. Whatever I prophesy to you, I have to hear it. I can't make it up. I can't like have wishful thinking. You know, it's like I can't have the spirit of suspicion. You know, there's a man on TV. He says, I don't have the Holy Ghost. I don't have the Holy Guess. I got the Holy Ghost. So I'm not guessing about this. So it's what you're hearing from the Lord. And so I started by desiring. How many would desire to bless people? All right. Really bless people. I mean, I think it's cool for them to think you're a psychic, but you're really not. And it's true. They'll say, well, what you see for me, man? What you think? They'll come to you and say, what you think? Do you know anything? Have you seen anything? People call me all the time and say, Pastor Judy, you got a word for me? No, I don't. You make one up? I hear the Lord saying, give me $10,000. Yeah, and I hear him say it now. I just got a confirmation. I had a vision. Yeah, you know, if you have a desire, it starts with a desire to bless people. Then ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want to bless people. I want that gift. It's a gift that he wants you to have, walk in. He needs you to have it. He needs you to walk in it. He needs for you to desire it. He needs for you to be able to say, you know, I can do that. And it is for every single person in here. You don't have to be saved 20 years. You don't have to know all the Bible verses. No, you just have to have a desire to exercise that gift. You have to have a desire to be in the presence of the Lord where he can give it to you. So he can download, because prophetic is a download and you got to get it from him. So when you're in church, keep your ears open. Just test it. Try it. Just see what he's saying. And one of the ways that he'll begin to show you is, a lot of times, what you're thinking, somebody says next. Or the pastor preaches it. And you're like, oh, man, that's cool. I just thought that. Or you know, but that's letting you know you're on that frequency. That's letting you know you're on that frequency. And I would encourage all of you to strive to be on a spiritual frequency where you can hear God speaking. Because it's not hard. You can hear God speak to your mind. Okay, and so much you think is your thought. You're like, I can't say that. I'm thinking that. No, you're not. And the best thing to do, can I tell you? The best thing to do is try it. You have to try it. You cannot never try it. Even if it's wrong. Even if it's wrong, you'll know, don't pay attention to that voice anymore. And then you'll know, okay, I got that down pat. When it comes like that, I had a guy in church, in this church right here, and Sunday morning he prophesied, and Sunday night he prophesied. Sunday morning, he said, he came into the office afterwards. He said, Pastor, how did I do? I said, tell me how you felt Sunday morning. He said, oh, Sunday morning. He said, oh, man. He said, I'm not worried about Sunday morning. I'm worried about Sunday night. Because Sunday morning, I felt it. I couldn't hardly hold it in. I just wanted to burst. And I just knew it was just right there and right there. And as soon as I got a space in the service, I gave that prophecy. I was there when he gave it. And he said, "Ooh," and I just knew it. I knew that God was pleased with that. He said, "But Pastor, I'm in here because Sunday night, I'm not kind of sure." I said, "Well, how'd you feel Sunday night?" He says, "Well, I kind of felt something, but I didn't. It wasn't forceful like I felt it Sunday morning. And it was kind of quiet, and it was kind of deep, and you know, it was kind of plain." I said, "Sunday morning, you goofed. Sunday night, you got it." He said, "Huh?" I said, "Yeah. Sunday morning, that was out of timing. It didn't even go with what was happening in the service." You know, when you had a prophecy, and if it's a rhema word, if we up here talking about, you know, wind, don't bring a prophecy about fire. You know, if we're talking about apples, the noun word for that particular meeting is not going to be contrary to the spirit or to what's going on. And you could have received that word last week, and you just want to tell it, but it could be for you. And not for the church. So that morning, what he had, the Lord had been talking to him, and it was for him. And it was boiling up in him, and he wanted to say it, and he said it. And it wasn't bad enough where I had to correct it. It wasn't really bad where it did any harm, I should say. So I kind of let it go. You know, it's okay. You know, as a pastor, I can do that. But he came in the office for Sunday night, and I said, "Just remember, that feeling that you had Sunday morning, never prophesy out of that feeling. But the one Sunday night, trust it. You were dead on." Did you notice how interwoven my message was to that word you gave? So by trial and error, we learn, don't we? Come on, you can't be afraid. You got training wheels now. You cannot be afraid to get out there and tip over a little bit. You got training wheels. You got a pastor that will say, "That was good, but you might want to just next time," you know. And if you're going to be getting ready to exercise the gift, you have to be teachable and correctable. You got it? You got to. Don't you want to be correctable? Don't you want to, you know, take correction so you can not be a novice, but so you can learn and grow? Can you mistake wisdom for prophecy? But you always use wisdom with prophecy. You'll always use wisdom. There are times when I can prophesy in my church at any time, but I use wisdom. And I might want somebody else to see if they pick that word up. Or I might say, I can wait with that prophecy, and I can tell that person myself. I don't have to say, "I got a word for you over there." I just wait till the church says, "I got a word for you." Or I can just wait. So how I started was I earnestly asked for it and desired it. And I began to wait in the presence of the Lord, learn more about it. And then I started exercising it. And then people started confirming it. They said, "You have the gift of prophecy. God's going to use you in the prophetic." And then people started confirming it. Pastor, my dad confirmed it. Said, "Yeah, you got that from your grandmother." And so I began to exercise it, and I began to the more I exercised, the more I got better and better and better and better. When I wasn't sure, I hesitated. I didn't say anything for a long, 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 long time because I didn't want to be wrong. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you don't want to be wrong. Yeah, you don't. But there comes a time when you got to release it and let it go to see if that's right or wrong. All right? And that's the only way that you'll ever know. So the more I did it, it's like anything else. The more you sing, the better you get. The more you play, the better you get. The more you preach, the better you get. The more you speak, the better you get. The more you do anything. Practice makes perfect, right? So you got to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Keep practicing it. And keep asking God for, you know, that greater anointing. When I knew the Lord started using me in healing or prophecy, I began to invest. I bought books on the prophetic. I bought books on healing just to see how others did it, to see how it, you know, happened with them. Not that it had to happen the exact same way, but there's a pattern there. And there's a little encouragement. It's something that they learned. I don't have to learn that I could learn from them. And then I always had a desire to bless people. I guess that's the biggest thing, Pastor Alex, having a desire to bless people. If you're kind of selfish and you always want a blessing, and you're not really concerned about people. Another thing, the gift of prophecy will not work out of love. You surely can't prophesy to somebody and you're mad at them. And Laura told me to tell you, you need to get your stuff together. Because you know you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You're just really mad at that person. You know, it's kind of like in prophecy, you have the anointing and you have the human factor, and you do not need the human factor to be high. You need the anointing to be high. So you have to be careful. You could have a prophetic word for somebody, but if your spirit is kind of messed up, wait. And so, you know, they drive together sometimes when they come to church. And sometimes before they get to church, they could have an argument in the car. I'm just saying, sometimes they could. And sometimes they don't see eye to eye. And sometimes maybe Tanya is slow and she's not fast enough. Or sometimes Pastor Alice is just getting on her nerves. You know, y'all not even smiling. You know, but this could possibly happen. And they could have a little spat in the car. And now Pastor Alice get up here and he really have a word, you know, to give. And I'm talking about a prophetic word. So what do you think happens? That prophecy may come out strong and hard. It could come out, and the Lord wants, it could come out like that because that human factor is high. He's got that, you know, that emotion is high. So the best thing to do, and this is good if you're singing, if you're playing, if you're preaching, if you're whatever you're doing, get that human factor down. So the Spirit of God, the anointing can be up. All right? So you don't want to, a lot of times you can have your own opinion about something, and then you never prophesy or you never think, well, this could be the Lord, and you already have information. Or, you know, I think the Lord is telling me that, you know, you like her. Well, you know, everybody knows she like her or him, whatever. It could be something that you already have knowledge of. You don't prophesy what you already have knowledge of. Okay? You don't do that because that's not real. That's not true. ABCs, you got two worlds. You got light and dark. You got good and evil. You have the kingdom of darkness, and you have the kingdom of light. The psychic belongs where? Kingdom of darkness. The psychic belongs to the demonic powers. And the prophetic, the spiritual gifts comes from God. So you got two spirit worlds. One spirit world is the enemy. One spirit world is God. And so you have giftings in both. And that's why you say, well, they told me the truth, but they got powers from darkness. Powers from darkness. But the prophetic spiritual gifts from God are from God. It's not from across, you know, you don't cross over and go into darkness and say, I got a spiritual gift from God. No. Are there people that are psychic with spiritual gifts? You better know they are. Everything that God has that's real, of course, the enemy has a counterfeit of it. And then there is some knowledge that he can tap into, but not lawfully, not legally. And then there is some things that Satan can conjure up, because whereas he has some power, God has. So he can make some stuff happen if he can get everything working where you can believe. Voodoo cannot work on me. Witchcraft cannot work on me because I don't believe it. Because I don't believe. Say, I don't believe. If somebody says, I'm putting some stuff on you, just say, I don't believe it. That will cut anything, any word off of your life. Because in order for it to happen, you have to receive it. And you have to accept it. If people speaking bad of you and you start crying, it's because you received that stuff. Don't receive it. And keep on going. And you won't be crying. But when you won't be hurt. But when you receive something in your spirit, you get wounded. But you can have all the kind of dust you want, yellow, gold, black, blue. It don't work on me. You can curse me until Jesus comes. It don't work. A curse don't work on me. Because I don't believe it. I'm covered with the blood. I know I don't have demons all around me. I got angels all around me. I don't believe in that stuff. And if you don't believe it, it cannot happen to you. Oh, trust me on that. If you don't believe it, it will not, it cannot enter into your space. It can come around you, but it cannot touch you. It cannot touch you. Now, if you give room for it, it can mess with you. You say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Yes, you do. I mean, you know, your mouth is saying one thing, but your emotions are saying another thing. Why? Behavior never lies. That's right. You're feeling me? You understand what I'm saying? So keep stuff off of you. Don't receive it. Oh, no, that's not for me. Don't receive it. So there is a difference between the world of darkness and light. And what you want to do is stay with people that are light, people that are in darkness. You can feel it. You can know it. And they can do little strange things. And, you know, just be careful. Look at somebody and say, be careful. Yeah. And now here's another thing. Gifts come without repentance. Somebody that's not saved can have the gift of prophecy. Somebody that's not saved can have the gift of prophecy, but not pulled in for the purposes of God. So I've had people to prophesy to me, they're not saved. But that's not their gift. That's God's gift in them. And for, you know, if God can use an ass, a donkey, if God can use the enemy to bless you, and the wealth of the kingdom of the just is laid up for us. The wealth is laid up for us from the unjust. So God can use anybody to bless you. That's not a criteria, but just in case you say, I'm not receiving that. But if it's God, you can receive it. You know, you can receive it. So just know the exhortation, encouragement, comfort. So I want you to begin to ask God for the gift of prophecy. Because everybody in here can have the gift of prophecy. And God will use it. He may not use you in here. He can use it on your work, at your workplace, with your family. And they can say, how'd you know that? Say, you know, God just showed me that. Wow, that's cool. God just showed me that. Well, how'd you know that? I don't know, I just heard something. But here's the thing about it. If you ask God to make you a blessing, if you say, God, I want to bless that person, give me something. Give me something for my pastor. Give me something for my brother. God will give you something, and he'll trust you, and he'll allow you to bless them. And that's what he wants. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say this about on prophecy, because it's not all foretelling. It's just proclaiming. It's telling. It's just saying, you know, to get that preacher thing off of it. But also, it's a specific revelation for the occasion. And this is the most common one. Revelation is the particular characteristic of prophecy which sets in from preaching, which sets it off from preaching and teaching. One of the primary ways the Spirit builds up the church is by means of prophecy's revelation. Although the gift of prophecy has a great breadth, we should not imagine that its primary purpose is the setting forth of doctrine, even through instruction, even though instruction is a part of it. So just saying that most of the time when the prophetic comes and revelation, it's not doctrinal. It's revealing to you something that you don't know, revealing to you something for somebody else that they don't know or that you don't know. Remember, it's a revelation. It comes from the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit. And God will activate that, and God will use you, and God wants to use you. And it's like a revelation. And that's the most common prophecy that we use in our church. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit, and we hear it or we sense it. Pastor Alex asked the question earlier. Do you sense it? Sometimes you hear it. Sometimes you sit. It depends on how the Lord uses you. Sometimes, you know, like I said, you think it's your own thoughts, but it's not really your thoughts. Sometimes you feel in something and you think it, but it's coming from like your innermost being. And sometimes it's like loud in your head, you know. So, but whichever way, I want you today, if you so desire, I want you to start desiring the gift of prophecy. And it sounds like a spiritual term, but really it's just hearing God and blessing people. So think of one person that you would want to bless. Prophecy builds the church. And that's, as we've seen that in 1 Corinthians 13, the purpose of it is to build the church and also to reach the lost. Come on, say it again. Prophecy is what? So that's what we're desiring. That's what we're after. We're getting in. We're 1, 2, 3 steps. We move into a place to hear God. Okay, we move into a place to hear God. And even try it in church. Try it in church. Get in the spirit realm and say, God, speak to me about my sister. Let me give, she looks a little down today. Can I give her a word? But can I go over there and speak into her life? Can I, Lord, give me, and do you know God is ready? He'd be waiting for you to say that. He's like, I want to bless her, but I need somebody to bless her. I want to give her a word, but I need somebody to give her that word. I need somebody to encourage her. I need somebody to lift her up. But I don't, everybody's doing something. Nobody is asking me for this word. That's how simple prophecy is. And so as you begin to say, Lord, and you can look at people. It's okay to look at people. And you know people, you know, you don't need the spirit of discernment to see that somebody's having a bad day. Lord, can I encourage them? Can I give them hope? The best people to prophesy to is people that are without hope, that need an encouraging word. You can prophesy an encouraging word. Come on, say, I can prophesy an encouraging word. Say, I can prophesy a word of comfort. Say, I can prophesy a word of exhortation. Yeah. So those are the things the Lord says that you can prophesy just without getting in the spirit, because that is already in the spirit. Exhortation, building somebody up, encouragement. You can do it. I'm going to show you. Give me a chance.